Papa, you're so good. You're so good. And we just invite your presence to fill this place, Lord, with an awareness of you, an awareness that you love to dwell in the midst of your people. So thank you. Thank you for this meeting this morning. Thank you for what you want to do in the meeting this morning. Touch hearts, Lord. Touch hearts. Minister into our lives. Because, Lord, we must have more of you. Thank you. Thank you, Papa. We've been doing a series talking about the values of pursuit. And I'm hoping that as we go through that, you'll start to pick up an understanding of some of your own values, or at least start to look at them and challenge them in the light of what the kingdom of God is about. It's an area that we don't often think about, but we also experience it quite a little bit. Like, who has been, or who is actually, let's say, involved in a work situation where you feel like you don't fit in? Where you feel like what is happening at your work, I mean, nobody says anything, nobody says to you, oh, you don't fit in, but you just know you don't. Anybody here in that situation? Yep, I'm seeing hands go up all over the place. See, what you are experiencing is culture. There is a culture of the world. There is a culture of the kingdom. And for some of you, you are in a workplace culture that is contrary to the kingdom of God. And you intuitively feel that you don't fit in there. And you don't. You have an entirely different value system. And if you went through and just sat down and said, okay, what are the values of the people that are working here? You'd probably start to pick them up quite quickly, and you'd probably go through the list and say, okay, they're their values, they're not my values. That is the power of culture. See, culture tells us where we belong. Now, hopefully, coming here to Pursuit, you will feel like you belong, that this is your family. Again, that is the power of culture. So let's have a look this morning. We're going to go through again what the different ones are that we have named as the values of pursuit. So valuing his presence, believing in his goodness, declaring his word, living under grace, guided by the Spirit, extending the kingdom, serving people, releasing honor. Do you need to memorize this? No. Because culture, as I said, is one of those things that's kind of behind the scenes. If you memorize something about pursuit, I would encourage you to memorize touching the heart of God, impacting the heart of man, releasing the kingdom of heaven. But if you want to get a little bit of a grasp on the values of pursuit, they're actually in groups of two. And they're about God, and then God's heart towards us, and then reaching out, and then gathering people in. Okay, so it's about his presence and his goodness, his word and his grace. Then guided by the Spirit and extending the kingdom, and then gathering people in as we serve them and release honor over them. Okay? And we now are up to number 5, guided by the Spirit. So we're going to start this morning by talking about what this means. And the first thing that I've got up there for you is about recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you felt us do that even this morning as we started to sing and to worship, that we started to acknowledge His presence here amongst us. And some of you, I know, will actually be aware of that presence that is already here in the room. See, His presence is everywhere, but His presence intensifies as we honor that presence. So let's go to a scripture in John 14, starting with verse 16, where Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." When Jesus spoke of giving us another helper, that word "another" means one just like the other one, which means that the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. In fact, when you're talking to the Holy Spirit, He doesn't mind if you call Him Jesus or Father. Or you're talking to Jesus, He doesn't mind if you call Him Father. They're not jealous of one another. So we don't have to really worry whether we're getting the right name. They're all listening anyway. But Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, "But you know Him." The disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. And they're probably listening going, "We do? Not sure. Are you sure about this one, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Yes, you know Him, because you know Me, and He's just like Me." And I want you to notice an interesting thing that Jesus says here at the end. He says, "For He dwells with you." That's present, and He will be in you. That's future. See, Jesus spoke these words prior to the crucifixion and prior to His resurrection. And He says, "The Holy Spirit is with you, and He will be in you." Now, if we go, I'll just bring it up. John 20, verse 22. This is after the crucifixion and resurrection. And Jesus, when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's when the disciples became born again. They couldn't be born again until after Jesus had gone to the cross and rose again. What does this all mean? What it means is that before we are saved, the Holy Spirit is with us. From the moment of salvation, He is in us. How many of you can recognize that before you got saved, God was doing things in your life? Okay. What that means is the Holy Spirit was with you. He wasn't yet in you. You weren't born again. But He was with you, and He was leading you to that place of salvation. The good news about that is, folks, that for all of our loved ones, guess what? The Holy Spirit is with them. So you may have kids that you feel like are so far away from God. That news for you. The Holy Spirit's with them. They're not as far away as you think they are. Because the Holy Spirit is right there with them. You have an unsaved husband who you think will take a miracle to get him into the kingdom. He's that close. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's with him. And I don't know about that for you, but for me, that's shouting ground. Because I know that my unsaved loved ones, Holy Spirit's with them. And the time will come when Holy Spirit will be in them and they will be born again. That was a good place to say amen. amazing as this isn't the end of the story. Holy Spirit has been with us. He's now in us. That's huge. You know, God is in you. Awesome. Top marks, boy. You and I will have this time this morning.
That's why we're sitting right
there. Awesome. Good idea. But I want you to think about that for a moment. The Old Testament, the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. They had the fire of God above them at night. They had the cloud above them. All through their wilderness wanderings, the presence of God was there. Then we have the temple and we have the Shekinah glory that was in the temple. That was huge. Nobody could stand when the Shekinah glory came into that temple. We have Moses before a burning bush, the fire of God. And then we have Jesus, and it's in John 14, where he says, if you love me, my Father will love you. And him and I are going to come, and we're going to make our home in you. God's home is in you. This glorious God lives in you. Now, temple speaks of glory and splendor and majesty. But a home? What does a home speak of? Speaks of fellowship, speaks of intimacy, speaks of peace. It speaks of sharing life together. The great God of the universe says, hey, I've got a new home. It's you. I remember fairly early in our marriage, Ray sharing with me, the Lord had spoken to him and he had said this, I don't want you to exclude me from anything you do today. And I was like, wow, okay. Ever lived in a house where you're totally ignored? Okay, a couple of you have been in that situation where you've lived in a house where you're totally ignored. I don't think the God of the universe wants that. Let's not ignore the one that lives in us. It's huge. But it's only the beginning of the story. Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon. Okay, we've seen him with, we've seen him in, now he's upon. This is the third aspect. And it's the aspect that God wants us to enter into. Because when we enter into this aspect, the Holy Spirit's not just living in us, he's upon us. And when that happens, we start to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the first evidences of that happening is people speaking in tongues. Why? Because everything God does is through the power of words. And one of the things he loves to do is to get hold of our lives and start to pray through us, because God loves to answer prayer. And when the Holy Spirit is praying, the Holy Spirit is praying the perfect prayer. And as soon as you start to pray, you can do what Karen did and just say, amen. because he's praying what he already wants to answer. So he's with us, in us, and on us. That's number one. And yes, I am watching my clock. And we're going to go on to number two, which is flowing with the anointing. So what does it mean to be guided by the Spirit as a value? Well, the anointing is actually different from the presence. Before I bring that up, there are actually three anointings. You have, it's probably more actually, but we'll talk of three. There is the believer's anointing. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you. That's where it says, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. They're not going to get worse, they're going to get better. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Then you have the anointing that is upon us. And then the anointing that comes corporately. But let me help you with that one. I need to bring up this, don't I? The glory is the manifestation of God's presence. The anointing is the manifestation of God's power. There is a difference, but obviously they're connected. See, we're changed from glory to glory. And when the presence shows up, you sense that glory. And many times you have people who start to do something and react to the glory. Some will laugh, some will cry, some will dance, some will shake, some will do whatever. It's people reacting to the glory of God. But the anointing is different. The anointing is the power of God that is released for a specific purpose. And when we want to flow with the anointing, we're wanting to flow with what God's purpose is. It's in Luke where it speaks, and Jesus said that the power of the Lord was present to heal. That's the anointing. See, there are different types of anointing. There's healing anointings. There's preaching anointings. Yeah, deliverance. You have different anointings that come for different purposes. And as we start to get used to God's presence and to sense his presence, we also start to get used to the flow of the anointing, and we start to move with that anointing and to sense what that anointing is for. So I've put here for you, to flow with the anointing is to flow with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in a meeting. If we decide that we want to share testimonies when the Holy Spirit is wanting to do something else, there will be a disconnect. And you can feel it will feel flat. But when we flow with what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do, you will actually feel it increase. And the anointing for that will come even stronger. The more we actually start flowing in that anointing, it brings an increase in the anointing. Passage of scripture that speaks so strongly of the anointing is Isaiah 61. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Presence, anointing. "To preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." All those things are actions. The anointing comes to do something. The presence is something we receive and we soak in. And it's like, ah. Oh. But when the anointing comes to do and to change and to affect. It can be to preach, to proclaim, to heal, to deliver, to comfort, to set free. It can be all those things. So we have that difference here between the anointing and the presence. And the third one is giving place to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For time's sake, we're not going to go into it, but there are different gifts. As you look through the Word of God, you have got in what we normally call the spiritual gifts. And we're talking about prophecy and words of knowledge and healing and faith. Those are the spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But in Romans 12, you have the motivational grace giftings. They are slightly different. Why? Because they're actually the motivations and the grace giving. So it talks about mercy and it talks about giving, because they are graces and they are motivations for moving into what the Holy Spirit has for us. And then in Ephesians 4, it also talks about the gifts. Those are the ascension gifts, and they're connected with destiny. And in the destiny course that we're going to be doing, we will be talking about those five gifts. They're not positions, they are giftings. But let me finish. With 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. What's it saying there? What? Do not quench the Spirit. I believe it's saying learn to flow with what the Holy Spirit is doing. But what it also says, I believe, is the fact learn to flow with the Holy Spirit, but you're not going to get it 100%, and that's okay. It says test all things, hold fast what is good, and don't despise prophecy. If somebody gets up to give a word of prophecy and 10% of it was good, now the 20% was, yeah, kind of, and the rest was like, don't know what you had for tea last night. It's like, that's okay. We know in part, we prophesy in part. And part of learning to be guided by the Holy Spirit is having the freedom to miss it. And there's times when, you know, Ray and I on the way home have gone, yeah, we didn't quite hit what we were wanting to hit this morning. See, the Bible talks about the ways of God being in the sea. Don't know if you've tried to find a pathway in the midst of the sea. Not the easiest thing to do. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit being wind, and you don't know where he comes from, and you don't know where he's going. And God says, follow me. And you go, yeah, right. So this is why this verse is saying, hey, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't say, okay, this is too hard. Let's just sit, you know, stick to the known, the predictable, the safe. No, because if we do that, we're going to quench the expression of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And don't despise prophecy. If somebody gets up and they say something and only 10% of it is right, rejoice in the 10%. Because as we encourage them, next time it might be 15. Go for it. Test all things. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're going to say, okay, B minus on that one. No, what it means is we're just to take something before the Lord and say, does that sit? Does that not sit? Nah, it doesn't sit. And if somebody starts to practice prophesying over you and something doesn't sit, just say, bless them, Lord, they're wanting to follow after you, and let it go. That's okay. It's okay to let a prophetic word go and say, too much pizza. That's okay. But hold fast to what is good. Let's believe the Holy Spirit that He wants to minister amongst us and through us. See, God's amazing. He could do it all by Himself. But He loves the fact that He can do it through us. He loves the fact that He can take us and speak a word of encouragement to somebody else. So we're going to finish here this morning, because we're going to go back into a time of worship. So Lockie, yes, you'll need to come and grab. And what we're going to do is we're just going to sense the Holy Spirit and what He's doing. I'll let you unwind that and take it out. As we go back into worship, I encourage you with a couple of things. Number one, start to get an awareness of His presence. His presence is something that is with us. And even during the week, take God with you wherever you go. He doesn't mind going shopping. You might have a husband who wants to stay home, but the Holy Spirit likes to shop. He's actually very good at shopping. I've got another amen. Come on, ladies. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. And do you know what you're doing? You are getting used to hearing His voice. One of the reasons He wants to do that, and He wants to when you're at work and you think, what am I meant to be doing here? The Holy Spirit wants to give you thoughts and revelation and wisdom. Why? Because He wants you used to His voice. Because once you start to get used to His voice, in your practical, in your mundane, in your everyday, when you're dealing with relationships, with people, going shopping, being at work, putting your clothes on in the morning. I mean, don't take it to extremes like, do I wear the red t-shirt or the blue t-shirt, Holy Spirit? But He'll tell you, take your umbrella. But it's sunny outside, take your umbrella. And later in the day, you'll be going, thank you, Holy Spirit, I've got my umbrella. He wants to relate to us, number one, because He wants us to know Him. But number two, also because He wants us familiar with His voice. So that when we're with somebody and they're starting to share about their heartache or their sorrow, we can go, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? Oh, okay. And you can start to share. Why? Because you know His voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do you get to know His voice? Well, start listening in the everyday and the mundane. Lord, should I be watching this TV program? Don't feel right. I think I'll change channels. Let Him watch TV with you. Oops. Kevin's found out some of the things that the Holy Spirit likes to watch. I think it's probably connected with how He's made Kevin. Ray, how about you come to the keyboard? Not quite, but how about you come to the keyboard? So I want to encourage you, become aware of His presence on a daily basis. But also, I want to encourage you to do that as we go back into worship this morning. Just become aware of the Holy Spirit. The more you honour His presence, the more His presence will increase. And then let's sense what anointing starts to come into the room and what the Holy Spirit wants to do. What I see is I see somebody walking through deep water. It's up to your waist or even higher, and you're walking through it, but you're trying to keep your feet on the bottom. And God's saying, let go. Just start to swim. And then I see as you start to swim, I see you even like a seal would be in the water, and I see you turning and diving and flipping and doing all kinds of fun things. The thing that's holding you back is your desire to maintain control. You can't flow in the Spirit while you're trying to keep control. And there's some people here this morning, that's you. And if it's you, I want you just to raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I'm scared to have my feet go off the bottom. But I'm going to trust you this morning. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. If you want to come forward and receive prayer, I want to pray for you. I can pray for you where you are, but you walking forward is a declaration of faith, a declaration that says, Papa, I'm not going to keep control because I want more of you. I'm not going to keep my fear. I'm not going to let fear keep me back from more of God. Do not fear. Do not fear.